So what if everything was good? Just if everything was good, your health was good, your relationships were good, your emotional health was good, your career was going good, your finances were going good, no troubles, no conflicts, no worries. Let's just say that your NCAA bracket that you picked is winning. That'd be heaven, right? Heaven is a place where it's all good all the time. That's a phrase I've learned to say. Heaven is a place where it's all good all the time because in heaven there's no sin, and so there's no brokenness. Revelation 21:4 is a glimpse of that when it says, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." It's a place where it's all good all the time. I'm looking forward to that. And last weekend, as we talked about the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We want the good of heaven on earth. And when we choose to follow God's ways, it leads to life. And heaven breaks into this darkness of earth. And we have heaven on earth. And if we choose not to follow God's ways, then instead of life, it's death and the things that kill and steal and destroy. And over this 40 days of prayer, you know what we've been doing? We've been praying for heaven on earth, for God's goodness to break into the darkness. And we're choosing to pray for and live God's ways for all the things that are broken. Because we live in a broken world under the curse of sin, and we're praying for healing and restoration of what is broken. 40 days of prayer has been very, very helpful for us, those of us that have been engaged. And today, by the way, page 117 in your book, if you want to take notes that stay with you, and it's helpful. But those of you that are here for the first time, this message is still going to help. But for those of us that have been on the journey, it's one that will help us as we keep going. Serve Day, this yesterday, was awesome. It was an army of folks that went out and did good, a bunch of do-gooders doing good. And you know what? We push back darkness. For everyone that says, somebody needs to do something, yesterday 800 folks plus went out and did something. And that's right, pushing back darkness, heaven breaking into what is broken. You see, prayer helps heal what is broken. You know, is there brokenness in the world? Poverty, war, evil regimes abusing the rights of people, international sexual trafficking. Yeah, there's brokenness in the world. Is there brokenness in our nation? Poverty, racial tension, emotionally charged political discourse. Value of life is under attack. Rising suicide rates, opioid addiction crisis. Is there brokenness in our nation? Is there brokenness in our state? Well, let's just think. Do we need to improve the education system of Nevada? U.S. News and World Report says we rank 49th. In spite of all the great educators are working hard, 49th. Is there brokenness in our city? Homelessness, addiction recovery issues. We need to improve our mental health solutions. Brokenness in our city. Is there brokenness in your workplace? There's not any work politics going on, is there? There's not a dishonest or a lacking integrity employer or a dishonest, lacking integrity employee, not where you work. Is there any brokenness in your family? Any broken marriages, broken homes, any abuse where it's just not safe? Is there any brokenness in you, in me? Where I'm not who I want to be and I do what I don't want to do. We pray for what is broken, for good to come. Thy will be done on earth. We got two passages we're going to dive into today that are classic, and the first one's an Old Testament passage that involves King Solomon, who was the king of Israel, that when the temple was built, and the temple was this magnificent, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And it was super, super cool and awesome and esteem building for the nation of Israel in all kinds of ways. But there had been a drift of the people of Israel. God's chosen people who knew his ways, and when they followed him, they would have life as they lived out righteousness. They would drift away and turn away from God, and there would be this call to come back. And Solomon issued one of those calls as the temple was built, and it's one of these classic, famous kind of passages in the Old Testament, found in 2 Corinthians 7:14. We're going to live in this verse for a while. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Maybe you've heard that before. Let's listen to it again. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. I want to unpack it almost line by line. If my people called by my name, is that us? Yes, it is. Specifically in this context, it was the nation of Israel gathered around Solomon, Jerusalem mainly, those that were gathering at the temple, the people of God. But when we choose to follow God, when we choose the name of Jesus as our leader and we become Christians, which means little Christ, we choose to be God's chosen people. Are we God's people? Yeah, we are. Called by his name? Yep, that's us. If my people will humble themselves. Humbling is another way of saying is I'm not in control. When I'm in control, it's what I want to do the way I want to do it. When I humble myself, I yield my control. See, the number one sin that we have is this pride. And when we know what God says, we say, I know what God says, but I'll do what I want to do. The number one sin in the garden when Satan tempted Adam and Eve, did God really say, and we find ourselves saying that, did God really say, oh, I'm going to do what I want to do? Instead of your kingdom come, your will be done. If my people will humble themselves, if my people will humble themselves and pray, in other words, ask for help, and that's one of the consistent weekend themes that comes through this 40 days, is you got to ask, you got to ask. Are you asking? And we have this independent spirit, just like our toddlers, who grow up and say, I do it myself. And we become adult toddlers who look at God and say, hey, I'll do it myself. Why don't we ask? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, if we ask God for help, and seek my face. Well, what does that mean when we seek God, not a miracle? Honestly, most of the time when we go to God, we want a miracle. God, do something. Intervene supernaturally in this natural world. Do it on our behalf. Intervene. Do this miracle. And what this verse is saying, if we seek his face first, what does God want most from us? An eternal relationship. One that begins now and lasts through eternity. What do we want? We want a God who gives us what we want when we want it. So what if we sought his face, sought his relationship first instead of our miracle? If my people will turn from their wicked ways. Now, that's getting personal. Turning from our wicked ways, another way of saying it, is turning my attention from the world to God's word. Because the world tells us stuff. And we listen and we start to follow it. You know what's important in this world? The person with the most toys wins. Get the stuff. You know what's important in this world? Fame and getting your 15 minutes of fame and people knowing your name and on your online presence where people give you a lot of clicks. That's what's important in this world. You know what's important in this world? Pleasure. Feel good. Is that what's important? That's what the world says, and we've been pursuing that ever since humans have been around. Or do we listen to God instead of the world? And God's word says, righteousness, living right, words that like love and joy and peace. If my people will turn from their wicked ways and turn to God's ways, then I will hear from heaven. Has God ever been silent in your life? Have you ever said those words? I'm not hearing anything. I've been praying, don't get anything back. I've been asking God for direction or help or guidance, and I got nothing. I'm not hearing anything from God, and here's the question. Do you think it's God's fault or our fault? Maybe something is blocking the conversation. Maybe something is drowning out the conversation. Maybe God is speaking, but we're not stopping to listen, or we're doing too many other things to be listening. What if we humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways? Then maybe we might hear something. I will forgive their sin is the next line. I'll forgive their sin. Why would that be necessary? Sometimes our guilt and our shame is in the way. How does that get in the way? I don't think I can really ask God anything right now because of what I've been doing. And I say, can I have this, or will you do this? And he's going, what? What you've been doing? My guilt and my shame is a barrier between me and God. I haven't been doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I've been a bad boy, been a bad girl, so why would you ever do anything for me? My guilt and my shame are a block in my relationship with God. Versus, when I ask for forgiveness, I humble myself, I turn from my wicked ways, I say, dear God, forgive me, and what's ever in the way is now cleared. And we've talked about what I didn't want to talk about, even though he already knew about it. And when I ask for forgiveness and humble myself and turn from my wicked ways, oh, now I hear, now I understand. It's not the God who says, where have you been? It's the God that's been waiting. And finally, we can talk. And then what happens? I will heal their land. We say around here, joining Jesus and bringing life to what is dead. I will heal their land. Literally, in this time of Israel, a famine was going on, and God was withholding rain. And God would send rain for the crops, and food would come, and their land would be healed. So there was a literal answer to prayer, and we can take it to our situation, where what is full of killing, stealing, and destroying turns to life-giving blessing. And the things that are broken in our world, our nation, our culture, our state, our city, our families, can now have life instead of death. And our land will be healed. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. See why it's a classic verse? There's power in that. And there's a whole lot of truth that, man, that's good for us. Healing and restoration, we pray for that. And as we pray for healing for what is broken, and we pray for restoration for what is broken for our world, our nation, our state, our city, our workplace, our families, and ourselves, there's another aspect of praying for healing that we almost always start with, and that's physical healing. What do we pray when our bodies are broken and we need a health breakthrough? Do we pray for it? Now we're turning to the New Testament passage we're going to focus on. And this is James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Good wisdom here, and we're going to talk about this the rest of our time. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. So the heart of it, the heart of the answer is not that the elders have a magic touch, that the oil that you're anointed with is some kind of magic voodoo stuff. It's not that. What is it? A prayer. What heals you? A prayer. A prayer offered in faith will heal. Huh. So you mean we can pray and we can ask for physical healing. Just an honest confession here as we dive in this topic, and I'm kind of giving my take on it, but this is my confession I start with. The Holy Spirit, once we receive God's grace, we receive His Spirit, and with it comes gifts. We call them spiritual gifts. In the New Testament, it talks about 20 of them. And those are things and abilities that are enhanced or new gifts that are part of you that help each other, help build up the body of Christ and help you make an impact with your life. There's about 20, 22, depends on how you read the scriptures. But my top three spiritual gifts are shepherding, leadership, and teaching. And God's used those to help me lead this church over the years. And it's been really fun to have those gifts empowered. But one of the things that we feel once we start discovering our gifts is we look at the list and you go, well, I got these, but I really want that one and that one and that one. That's kind of, how do I get those? And here's my confession. If I could buy a spiritual gift, it would be the gift of healing. And you know why? Because I'm a shepherd. And when I'm with a hurting sheep who needs to be healed, I wish I could just go zap. You're healed. Man, I wish that. And not so I could go on get a tent revival going and go on TV and have all these people show up so I could show off. It's not because of that. It's because when you're in a hospital room and you're praying for someone and there is a need for healing, oh man, wouldn't that be fun? God heal them. I'd like to buy that gift. I don't have it, and I can't. The Holy Spirit gives it to it as he wills. And here we are in this passage, and notice it's not the touch and not the oil. It's a prayer offered in faith that heals. Well, I can do that, and I have done that. And I invite all of you into that truth. One of the things that bothers me about the topic of healing is how much brokenness is on that topic inside the church, and some things that have happened through the centuries about faith healers that just really bother me. And this is my chance to get it off my chest, so thank you, as I kind of hopefully give us some true instruction on what is something, the way that we should live and approach this. Back in 1992, there was a movie that came out called Leap of Faith. Starred Steve Martin. And those of us that grew up with him as a comic, we know that he also did some acting. And here he is in the Leap of Faith, and he plays this role of someone who had a past as a con artist who finds a new gig as a faith healer, and he has a tent revival, and he has a show, and he goes into towns, puts up his tent, does the show, and he basically fleeces the flock. He gets the money out of the people as they donate and seeds of faith and all of that, and then he goes off to the next town before anybody figures out that he's a fake. And so that's his story. And gets this one town in this movie, and his truck breaks down, and it takes a while to get it fixed, and it's in the middle of nowhere, so he keeps the tent revival going, develops some relationships instead of, drive-bys, has real relationships, including this lady who has a son who has crutches, and the son starts to have faith that just maybe God can heal him through Steve Martin's character. And eventually, guess what happens? The son got healed. And Steve Martin's going, what do I do with that? And messed him up, and there's the rest of the movie. You have to watch it yourself. The reason I bring that up is because that character, as the con artist coming into town, fleecing the flock of vulnerable believers who are desperate for a miracle, when it's a con artist, it really ticks me off. It bugs me. It just is, man. And we get skeptical because of it. Is it true or not? Is it a show or not? Is it a healing or not? And we just get skeptical, and we lose the power and the possibility that's in this verse. At least I start to. There are some with the gift of healing who have a ministry that is biblically sound, and people are blessed through it. I know that is true, but it seems like there are others who play the game and do the con, and they lack financial integrity, and it just really bugs me. There is a faith healer that's been on TV in the past, and one of my minister friends one time said to me, my pastor friends, he goes, if that guy is so good, why does he wear a toupee? That's the cynicism coming from pastors. And just for the record, I'm not that good. I don't have a toupee. Another TV evangelist, sadly, was shown to be an imposter, as he was the kind of guy that could say, I sense somebody over here has a bad back or has this ailment, and and you tried this doctor, and now you got a surgery on Tuesday, and that's me. And how did the guy know that? Because he had people in the crowd beforehand listening, writing down stuff. He had an earpiece in his ear, and a major TV network exposed him as a fraud. And that kind of stuff just doesn't help. It just doesn't help. And then I also get embarrassed whenever a teacher, kind of usually someone in that style of ministry, says something like this, that God wants you healthy and God wants you wealthy. And God is the great healer and he's the great provider and he owns all of that. And if you don't have it, it's not that he doesn't, it's there's something wrong with you. And if you're sick, maybe it's your sin. Maybe maybe God is punishing you. And if you're not wealthy, maybe it's your sin and you don't have enough faith to believe and receive what God wants to give you. And so this health, wealth gospel can sound like when I'm doing good, I'm healthy and wealthy. And when I'm doing bad, I'm not. So when bad things happen to me, it must be punishment from God. And that isn't how God rolls all the time. There are consequences for our sin. And it is true, if we follow God's ways, if we eat healthy, we may have more health. And if we avoid some of the negative health behaviors, we may just be blessed with good health. And if we follow God's financial ways, where we stay out of debt and save up for stuff and make wise decisions, we may be, and we tithe and all of that, we may be blessed. So we may be blessed and we may avoid all kinds of bad stuff. And so our relationships, if we do God's way, we learn to forgive and restore and reconnect. So we are blessed. That is true. And it's not that if bad things happen to you, that it's because you're a sinner and you don't have faith. It's important for me to say that, and I want to give a couple of illustrations to back it up. There's this New Testament leader named Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote half the New Testament, who was an apostle of God, and who had strong faith. He had all 20 spiritual gifts, so he had the gift of healing, and he himself healed others. Yet we hear this about his story in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 and following. This is what Paul says, "To keep me from being proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh." Now, the Bible doesn't say what the thorn in the flesh was, so we're left to kind of guess. Was it his eyes because he had been blinded and then healed? Maybe it wasn't healed all the way. Was it some other kind of ailment that made him look kind of odd because he talked about he wasn't impressive in stature? We don't know what his thorn in the flesh was. But Paul goes on and says, 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. So the healer asked the healer for healing 3 times, 0 for 3. Each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." God said no to Paul, the healer, the apostle. And it wasn't because Paul was sinning, and it wasn't because Paul didn't have faith. He lived in a broken world, and he had a broken body. And when he asked God to fix it, God says, "You know what? I'm going to use this figuratively, but it's good that you walk with a limp, because my grace is sufficient, and my power is shown through your weakness." Boy, that's heavy. But it lets me know that it wasn't Paul's fault. There's another story of a Christian example in current culture. When I was a teenager, I first heard about her, Johnny Erickson Tada. And some of you have heard of her. She was a young lady raised in a Christian home. July 30th, 1967, she was 17 years old. She dove into the Chesapeake Bay, didn't know that it was a shallow place. She dove, she hit her neck, broke her fourth and fifth, broke her neck there, became a quadriplegic, paralyzed from the shoulders down. She prayed for healing more than once. She happens to be 69 years old now. She's a 2-time cancer survivor. She's written over 40 books, recorded several albums, and she has influenced many, had a radio show. She is amazingly inspirational. But this is her quote. "God has chosen not to heal me, but to hold me. The more intense the pain, the closer his embrace." And we step back at that kind of truth and we go, whoa, that's deep. And that's good. One of the things I know that she has said before is she can't wait till she gets to heaven. You know why? In heaven, she's going to have a new body, one that will never die or decay, and one that will be fully formed because it'll be all good all the time in heaven. And there's an ultimate healing that she is going to have, but while she's here, my grace is sufficient for you, and through your weakness, I am strong. Are you seeing that Johnny has faith and that she's a very powerful Christian and obedient? And the fact that she's not healed is because it's not her fault. Let's get a little closer to home. 3 years ago, almost exactly, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. And by God's grace, she's doing great. And in last 18 months, the blood tests that... I don't know if she's ever had a drug test. Anyway, the blood tests have shown that everything's good, and so we're very, very grateful. But when she was diagnosed and our church was absorbing the news, and this very sweet, well-intentioned lady came up and said this sentence, "I can't believe this would happen to you," because she's a pastor's wife. And certainly there's this bubble that protects pastors and their families from any wrongdoing or any harm, right? And especially my wife, who's an angel, because she has to tolerate me as well. And it would happen to her. And Ginger knew enough to say, well, why not me? Because in this world of brokenness, our bodies are broken, and bad things happen to good people. And we can go another click. Our lead pastor, who just appeared on our stage this weekend, and he's going to be back next weekend to see if he can handle 35 minutes instead of about 10, which is great. But, yeah. And, what's up with this? I mean, God calls him and we empower him to be the lead pastor, and he's off to a great start, and then time out. You got 2 bypasses and we got to operate, and you're out of there for 8 weeks. And what's up with that? Why Drew? Why not Drew? And we prayed for healing for my wife, and we prayed for healing for Drew, and that leads us to more things, more understandings. And one is this truth, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that our bodies are miracles. And God made our bodies to heal itself, designed to heal. And the surgeries and the medications that physicians have figured out are designed to help our body heal. The doctors and physicians don't have the zap touch. They do things on purpose for the body to heal itself. Isn't that amazing? So Drew is healing. My wife has healed. The second thing that is true is God is truth. And so when medical science discovers a truth about this amazing body and they find new ways to fix it, it's God's truth that they have found ultimately. And as that medical knowledge and skill is applied to our bodies, it leads to healing. And we pray for physicians to do their best work. That they do their best diagnosis, that they prescribe the right medication, so that our bodies can heal. And we are grateful that God's truth is being applied to our bodies. God made our bodies fearfully and wonderfully, and they heal itself. And medical science is God's truth that's applied to our bodies. And then there's this third category. The great physician who made us knows more than the doctors do. They haven't figured it all out yet. And our God can heal us beyond what the doctors can do and our body can do. And so we pray. The big, big, big perspective, I want to make sure you see this, is the healing that we really need and that we're desperate for that makes all the difference comes from the cross. When our sin is put on the cross and God's righteousness is given to us and we have the hope of an eternal life where we can now have hope in the resurrection and go to a place with a new body, where there is no sin, sorrow, death, mourning, crying, or tears. That is the ultimate healing for all of us. That's the big picture. The second truth is this. To God, death is not the worst thing. You just need to know that. That doesn't sound very nice. Death isn't the worst thing to God. Jesus died. And Jesus defeated death. Death has been defeated. Easter morning, the resurrection of Jesus is the Super Bowl. And it has been defeated because death has been defeated. And we know there is an eternal life, that we can be in heaven where there is no death. Our death here is not the worst thing for God. Just let that sink in. And I'll reinforce it with this truth. Everyone that Jesus healed eventually died. Everyone that the Apostle Paul healed eventually died. Everyone that has been healed because of our prayers of faith eventually dies. We all have the same ending. What we do when we pray for healing is we kind of stay the execution. Not yet, not yet. More time here to love God and love people, to serve Him. And so we pray for that. When this James passage says, when you are sick and you invite the elders to anoint you and pray for healing, we do. Because it makes sense to us that this loved one that we know has more time here to continue to serve and to make a difference with their one and only life. That's why we pray for physical healing. And so, on this topic, I hope you're hearing loud and clear that we believe in healing. We ask for it because we're told to ask. And we come to God with childlike faith where it just makes sense to us that this healing would come so that the full, deep, and abundant life that you want us all to live will be fully realized. So we ask in childlike faith. And we ask in the name of Jesus, the healer. And we trust God for the answer. Boy, that's hard. Yes, it is, but God is good, and God loves us, and God is faithful, and when God heals, He does, because there's a reason, and when He doesn't, we trust Him, and we wait for the ultimate healing. Are any of you sick? You should call the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. This weekend, we're going to close the service with that opportunity. We're going to actually give you the opportunity for that truth to be lived out. We're going to do this biblical truth. So, we've asked our elders, current and former elders, to be available, both down front and in the lobby, and our pastors to be available down front or in the lobby. And we're inviting you, if you are sick and you need healing, to come for prayer. And as you come and ask the person to pray, praying for physical healing, praying for emotional healing, where there's grief or depression or anxiety, praying for relationship healing, maritally, parent-child, friend-to-friend. And those three categories are enough for a whole lot of folks to say, I need that. And so before you leave today, you can have that. We're going to be standing to pray in just a moment. And after the prayer will be the closing prayer. Those of you that want prayer and anointing for healing, you can have that and then go home today as we pray in the 40 days of prayer. So if you would, please be standing. And all of you that are going to be the elders and the pastors and prayer people getting in place, come on down and start moving and getting down front and connecting in the lobby, standing in the lobby. And as they gather here, just know that healing, praying for healing and restoration in this brokenness of this world is something we're told to do and something we will do today. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for the folks who've agreed to pray and invite your healing to come to individuals one at a time. And for those that have a body that needs to be healed, that have relationships that need to be healed, or has an emotional heart that needs to be healed, I pray that we will humble ourselves and that we will turn to you and ask. And I pray for those holy moments to go on today as well as into the future as we as followers of Christ do this practice as we need to. God, I thank you for the hope of your word that there is an ultimate healing in heaven, both for our spirit, for our bodies, for our relationships, as we look forward to a place that is all good all the time. While we're here in this broken world, we pray for healing for our world. We pray for healing for our nation. Pray for healing for our state. Healing for our city. Healing for our families. Healing for our places of work. Healing for our own hearts. And God, we thank you for the hope that we have that you are the healer. And so together we say this prayer in faith, knowing you're God and you're good and you love to say yes to your kids. We ask this prayer together in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Come on down for prayer, and we'll see you next weekend.